What's up and welcome to Shop Sounds, a woodworking podcast about nothing. With myself, Nick Key of Key Woodworks, Jason Hibbs of Bourbon Moth, and Keith Johnson, better known as KJ Sawdust. All three of us are on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
All right, folks. Despite my lack of body hair, Jason's overabundance of skinny jeans, and Nick's lack of white furniture in his house, this podcast continues to be sponsored by our carbide-loving cohorts over at Bits and Bits, who, by the way, have a little message for that wily elf on a shelf. I don't know what it is because it's kind of secret, but...
Get down, you'll hurt yourself.
I guess fill in the blank. This is Mad Libs. Now, Bits and Bits uses their time much differently than you and I because they proudly make their own spiral bits for routers and the CNC right here in the US of A, where drunken makeout sessions at office Christmas parties have unfortunately turned into lame Zoom calls with a Christmas tree green screen. Moment of silence for the office Christmas party. Thank you, COVID. Now, after Bits and Bits make their balsam fir holiday fresh smelling bits, they grab their favorite wheelbarrow decorated with holiday cheer and whip up some of their specialized Astra coating and dip them and toss them like me in a chocolate fountain with my pants off. Whoa, I was supposed to edit that. Okay. And this Astra coating, through extensive door-to-door interviews and silent auction tabulations, has proven to give these bits higher speeds and feed rates and extend the life of them by up to 3 times. Now, Bits and Bits also are constantly coming out with new bits and expanding their tool selection, so check out their new tools page on bitsbits.com and get yourself some Bits, Bits, and even more Donner and Bitson. And don't forget, they also take the great American-made Whiteside router bits and glaze them with their Astra coating so they can be fully optimized in your routers and CNC Robotrons. And finally, Bits and Bits is also an authorized Festool dealer, so have yourself a sustainer Christmas. And be sure to go check out all of Bits and Bits' offerings at bitsbits.com and use coupon code MORSELS15 to save yourself 15% off your next order of router and or CNC bits, because every time you use that coupon code, my morsels taste a little more like a candy cane dipped in eggnog.
Spicy.
Oh, sweet and spicy.
That actually would probably be pretty good.
I'm not going to lie.
Eggnog peppermint?
An eggnog coating on a, a candy cane.
A little candy cane stir stick.
Oh.
Delicious. For my seltzer?
Well, speaking of coating things in eggnog, we got a few new patrons that I'd like to coat in eggnog. That sounded a little...
risque?
Yeah, a little more risque than I'd planned. But here are the new patrons we got for you. We got Mr. Wilson.
Hey, Mr. Wilson!
Mr. Wilson! And he actually signed up twice. First, he signed up as Mr. Wilson, and then he signed up again as Andrew Wilson.
Two different people.
I think those are two different people. Yeah. And then we got Brent, and he stole something. I think he stole. It just says Brent stole. And then we got Nathan Stiltner. Sorry, there's a lot of T's and L's close together. I was trying to sound that out. Stiltner. Frederick Ling?
Yeah.
Lingy? Yeah, Ling. Sure.
Linge?
I don't know if that E does something to the rest of the letters or if it's silent.
Is it a linge?
Linge? Lingy? Lingay? Yeah. And then we got Shane Ivy, Colin Hayes, Cleet W. Templeton at Conk Woodworking. And I want to say that again. Cleet W. Templeton. That's just fun to say. I like that.
Yeah, he sounds like a local politician on the Board of Education or something.
That's right.
It's kind of like an upstanding name.
Vote red.
Or like an inventor. Like an inventor in the 1800s.
I'm Cleet W. Templeton, and I've got something for you.
Yeah,
you'll never
see?
Believe it. It'll change your life. You'll never have to dice. You'll never have to peel.
It's motorized. You just sit on it and fasten your seatbelt.
But wait, there's more.
And then we've got Jeremy Sims.
All right.
And that's it for the regular new patrons. Then we got two new top-tier patrons. We got Adam McKeon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's been a patron, but he just jumped up from the lower tier to now he's a top tier.
Wow. So, thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. And then we got Jake Ellison, and he's at ellisonandco.woodcrafts.
Yeah.
Cool.
Whew. Yeah, so we got quite a few new patrons. Thanks to you guys. If you are not a patron and you want to sign up, you go to patreon.com/bourbonmothwoodworking to sign. Oh, wait.
Close. Sorry,
that's my personal Patreon. You go to patreon.com/shopsoundspodcast to sign up any tier level. You get access to our after show, which is immediately after the podcast. And yeah, things get crazy over there. And then we got our normal returning patrons, and we'll talk about them at the end of the episode.
That is correct.
Whew.
Wow. Well, Jason is sipping on his own eggnog there.
You don't put ice in eggnog.
On the rocks.
You just chill eggnog.
Well,
this is a Scotch.
No, but
old fashioned.
if you make eggnog ice cubes,
oh,
that's what I do for my cold brew coffee. I just make ice cubes. That way, when it melts, it's just more coffee. Second drink.
Yeah, me and my wife have been, this year we were determined to find the best eggnog. So, like, we've been sampling a lot of the different ones. We've had, do you guys get Dairy Gold out there at all now?
Never heard of it.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
no.
See, that's the thing with, like, milk. It's so regional, like, dairy products.
Yeah.
Because we got all these, like, you don't have Umpqua out there. That's, like, a local thing.
What? Nope.
But you probably have the Southern Comfort eggnog out there, yeah?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so we've tried that one.
Benchmark?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, see, that's a Kentucky one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
So that's
what
where
about, like,
you never know what's the best because you can't try them all because it depends where you are.
You have to fly around the country.
Go on the world eggnog world tour.
Eggnog road trip.
Mm-hmm.
We're on our way to find the best eggnog in the country. Come along with us.
Eggnogs in 50 days.
Oh, my God.
Check our eggnog log.
Eggnog log.
Oh,
well,
oh,
what's new? What's happening?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been a weird 2 weeks.
It has been wild.
It has been. For me, too. It's been weird. We'll get into that. I mean.
Okay.
But yeah, so why has it been weird for you, Keith?
Because nothing has gotten done, and I've just been doing.
Isn't the word you're looking for, it's been a normal 2 weeks?
Yes. I think it's, no, but I think it's been even more nothing has gotten accomplished. Because I actually had goals. Normally, I just don't. But, and none of them got accomplished. I did have to help my buddy Kevin from Pine Point Cabin. He needed me for a day helping out with the cabin install. I had to install two panels on some Sub-Zero refrigerators, like, which you open up these two refrigerators. The people are still living there during this whole renovation. And it's, one of them is completely full of seltzers. The other one is like completely full of energy drinks and cold brew coffee drinks. And it's like, I could just live right here in this little nook. And it did take me all day to put these two panels. What a nightmare these panels were.
This is like where the fridge looks like a cabinet on the front.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So they had these brackets, take those off and screw them into the door. And then there's only so much adjustment. And yet it had to be like the perfect reveal all the way around that meets the cabinet in the middle and on the bottom. Yeah.
How thick can those panels go on those Sub-Zeros?
It's 3/4 inch.
Oh,
panel.
Wow. That's thicker than I thought.
And yeah, so that was that day. And then
and
I was working on this.
It's all finished when you're putting it on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was veneered MDF, like with this black kind of textured looking veneer on it.
I love it.
So, and then I had to notch the top of the door where it fits into the like the little knife hinge in the corner of the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to take like a router and mask that off and hope you don't chip the veneer and then color it in with black marker, the MDF.
Nice.
But it's just what had to be done. So, yeah, and then doing a little bit of work on this collaboration cabinet with Paul and Derek from Malden. So I was doing some, I said in my post today, like every part of this process as we move along in this project is more stressful than the next, because if you screw something up, all that work that you've done is just kind of ruined. So routing sliding dovetails into the side of this bent lamination cabinet, I must have marked and measured that 100 times. And I was like, oh my God, I'm just... And have you guys ever, when you're using a router with a kind of an, not an edge guide, but on a, not on a track, just like you're butting it up against a piece of wood and like running it along so it's in a straight line. But if you ever use, instead of using the rounded edge of the router, if you use the square, like if your router has a square edge.
On the base.
Bad idea.
No, because if that corner catches anything, it wants to just like flip around.
All it's got to do is move a 30-second or even less, and you're screwed. So luckily, I did some tests first and realized that was a stupid idea. So took the base plate off, made it all round. That way you can go in any direction.
Yeah. Do you not have a Festool track system with your router?
Well, you can't. Well, I couldn't fit the 1400 in inside an 11-inch kind of opening. I had to use a trim router. Dude, so I made a little jig. Guy.
I feel like you could make a wood base that accommodates those rods.
I just made a jig that saddled over the side of the case, and that way, no matter if I use the router on the right side or the left side, it was perfectly set up, centered and set up.
So like a true woodworker, you spent 90% of the time making the jig. Like a 3-second cut.
I would say 80% making the jig, 19% setting up all the camera angles and refilling, and 1% actually routing the grooves.
Yeah. That's how it goes, though.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, that's what we did with Neil's bench. We spent like a day making a jig to drill out like 15 dominoes.
The dominoes. Yeah.
And then that was the only time we did that. And from that point on, we're like, let's just put a reference mark on and just do it by hand.
And just go. Yeah.
That's funny.
But I like a good jig.
No, and I get it. With something like that, I mean, you do not want to screw it up.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, that's, and then I went to Massachusetts the last couple days. I was up there visiting Paul again at Copper Pig, and he was helping me with some of these brass powder and epoxy inlay drawer fronts that I'm working on for these floating nightstands.
Those look
I
really
saw
good.
In your stories, man, he really
nails
puts
it
on the lotion with that epoxy.
Yeah.
Thick like peanut butter.
Got to, well, because it shrinks as it dries, so you got to make, you know, if you just like fill the cracks and then you wake up the next day and it's like shrunken in, then you got to do another pour. It's like, screw that. So just overfill and then run it right through the planer.
Yeah.
And take it off. So those came out really nice. And then up to my buddy Derek's, I was doing some, using his laser for some Christmas gifts and things. And my grandfather's in the hospital, so I went to visit him up in Danvers, Mass. Yeah, it was a quick 2 days.
Wow.
Round trip and back. Man. And
so, but what
these
are,
nights? Yeah, go ahead.
What are Derek and Paul doing on this collab? Because it looks like you've like brought everything back to your shop at this point. You're working on it in your shop alone.
I've done most of it up to this point, but now is when we get into with Paul, and Derek's going to come down when I go up. I don't know if I'm going next week or the week after Christmas, because we have a lot of intricate details to do that, you know, is much more collaborative, because there's still a lot of design things to kind of figure out for the interior of this thing. So it's hairy, because we got to be a total boat on January 10th with a finished product. And this is a long way
baby.
To go. Total boat, baby. So yeah, that, and these nightstands that this was supposed to be an easy project to do a YouTube video last week.
Wait, you're doing nightstands too?
They're just floating little nightstands. Oh. Are you doing a nightstand build? I'm sure you'll still beat mine.
Just floating little nightstands.
Yeah, just 2 seconds.
Yeah, just
all it should take.
No, that's what I'm saying. Mine's just floating nightstands too. I didn't realize. I'm sorry.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
We should talk about our design and see how close we are in design. What do yours look like?
Basically a box, and the has a like a chamfered beveled edge on the front with a
walnut. Oh my gosh, we're making the exact same nightstand. Although mine will be basically a box with a chamfered little bevel edge on the front with a drawer, but they're white oak.
Oh, okay.
Oh, completely different.
Yeah, mine are walnut. Mine has a stripper pole going up through the middle, too.
Mitered box. Okay, so at least mine will be like Chris Miters and yours will be rounded over.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing it out of solid wood, so I can round them over.
And you're just doing what, like a French cleat in the back?
Yep.
Man, how did we... That's so funny. We're making the exact same thing.
Oh, my gosh.
You'll probably beat me, though, because I'm not putting mine out until...
Well, I would have...
Well, I'm not putting mine out until like the 30th.
Oh, well, at this rate.
Wait, so is it, Keith, is your nightstand the secret collab project?
No.
Oh, okay. Different.
I just wanted to incorporate that brass powder and epoxy design in the front.
Oh, see, yours is going to be so much cooler than mine because it's going to have that cool brass powder and everything. But now that we've talked about these nightstands, I guarantee somebody else will put out a nightstand video before either one of us.
Yep. So all right. Well, yeah. So my problem with like a little, I'm so mad. I milled up all this lumber for the case. I glued up the panels, and they. I mean, you know my issues with the joiner, with this friggin' spring joint on my joiner, and I could not. And I didn't realize something happened where I even ran them through the two boards together at the same time, you know, just in case the angle's off a hair, they supplement each other.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. I glued these panels up and they were nice and flat. But then the next day they were like, they had cupped like drastically.
Huh.
So, but there was some flex in it. So I said, all right, well, I'll run it through the table saw with the miters because the track saw, I won't be able to get any real downward pressure and flatten it out while I'm cutting this. And I did on the table saw, I got through the cut, and then the last inch, like it slid on me and moved and totally screwed up that cut. Well, there was no waste, like left or right. Like it was perfectly measured to do a miter, and a miter, and that was my whole case. It was only like enough width for a saw blade on all four cuts. So that panel is completely ruined. I didn't have enough lumber to like make another one, and the other panel cupped as well. So I had to go get a whole bunch of new walnut, and I milled that up today and hopefully glue that up tomorrow. I'm letting that rest. So if it cups overnight or moves, then I can remill it tomorrow.
Why do you think it cupped?
Because I cut it, because I resawed it out of 2-inch thick.
Oh.
And I didn't stack and sticker it.
Oh, so you cut it
such a rush.
And then glued it up immediately?
Not immediately, but without stacking and stickering it and let it rest for a day or two. Yeah.
Oh.
It's my own fault.
Had a little tension.
But like then I'm like, well, this is why people just buy S4S lumber, because I could have just freaking bought S4S, glued it, and been done with it. But
yeah. But that's no fun.
Nah,
that is no fun. And I had five slabs of walnut that just needed to be, you know, cut. So why go buy more material when I have some?
Yeah.
Well, huh.
So that's been my kind of 2 weeks-ish.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? It grows on trees.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. So are these nightstands for your bedroom, Jason, for your new remodel?
Yeah, dude, I wanted to hire somebody to do this remodel because I was like, I don't have time to do it. But I didn't realize that, sure, I'm hiring somebody to do all like the painting and the trim work and the tile and all that stuff. But I still am ending up making, at this point, I will have made the bathroom vanity. I made this barn door. I made the bed. I'm going to make these two nightstands. And now I got to do these two closet units.
Oh, you are doing the closet.
So, well, I don't know. It's going to come down to, the closet units are going to come down to which is available first. IKEA prepackaged closet units or drawer slides.
Wow, that's a tough call. Because
it'll probably be the same.
Okay. Who knows? I'm good. Tempted. I'm tempted to use a different drawer slide.
Wooden?
Like side mount or like grass?
No, I found some undermount ones. They're not Blum. It's a different company. They're super expensive, which makes me think they'd be high quality.
that's a mere facade.
It's the same thing. They got clips. They're undermount. They look basically the same. I would assume they function the same. I haven't checked to see if there's like adjustability in the clips. I don't know, but I'm at the point where it's like, if you want to keep doing projects and you want to have drawers, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like you have these drawers for your nightstands. What are you doing for drawer slides on those?
Well, they're 12 inch. Those seem to be available.
Yeah, those are available. See, mine are going to be 18.
36.
Now, luckily, I ordered two pairs of 18 inch drawer slides like a couple months ago when they were starting to be hard to find, and I didn't need them, but I ordered two extra pairs because I'm like, I'm just going to get these. There's a chance I'm going to use them for something.
Yeah.
So I have two pairs, but then I decided to do two drawers in each nightstand.
Ah.
So they're going to be stacked drawers, and it's going to be like 20 inches tall, basically, but it's going to float. But it's only going to float off the ground like 8 inches. Okay. But I am two drawer slides short. So to do the video, the only thing I can think is I'm going to pull two 18-inch drawer slides out of my router table. And I'll just replace them down the line, I guess. I don't know what else to do.
So you got those cabinets are like 20 inches or 19, 20 inches deep, your nightstands?
Yeah, they're going to be.
Those are big boys.
Yeah, and then what I'm going to do, so, because the only thing we put on the nightstand is normally we'd have a lamp on there and then you like set your cell phone on there at night to charge, right? But we're going to do wall-mounted like sconces above the nightstands, so there's no lamp on there now.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about doing like the embedded, like, you know, charging thing underneath the wood so you could just set the phone on there and you didn't have to have the cords. But then I found these charging docks that it is like the wireless ones that you just set the phone on, but they look like marble.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah, so they're perfectly circular, and it just looks like a circle of, like, white marble. So I thought it would be cool to, instead of trying to hide that underneath, to actually recess that in flush on the top so there'd just be, like, this perfect circle of marble on the top of each one, and then you'd know right where to set your phone on it.
Shaper origin, baby.
Bring in the Shaper origin. There you go. Yeah. So that's the plan, because then it'll just, you won't see any cords or anything. It'll be super clean. And I don't know, I think it could look cool to have that recessed in.
Definitely.
There, maybe.
Yeah, so that'd look cool.
Yeah, that's my running plan right now. And then I might do, just to jazz it up a little bit, I might do some cool wood poles, you know, those like ham built style curved ones. I've done those before and they're pretty fun. I've never done them in oak, so that'd be cool. So I might do those in the front of each drawer, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm just going to do push to open, like no hardware.
Yeah.
And not soft close, because those push to open, you don't need, they're too small of a drawer to do soft close. You'd have to like really ram it home to even engage the soft close with those push to open Movento slides.
Yeah. See, I like the idea of the push to open. My one thing with those is, doesn't the drawer face get like a spot on the front after using them a lot? Like
spot?
If your fingers touching against the finish over and over and over again, I would imagine it would eventually get like.
You just got to rotate.
Yeah, I don't know how many times do you go into your nightstand.
That's true.
I don't know.
That's the thing. Is like who? I mean, what more do you put in a nightstand than like?
And like a, to be honest, these aren't even.
Oh my gosh! Hold on, let me
some
write
matches.
That
write
stamp
that.
Down.
Yeah, flashlight. Well, these aren't even for us. I'm literally gonna make. I was just making them for video because I wanted to. I'm using the Lamello for all the joinery.
I would have known that, I would have just let you do the video. I wouldn't even done one. I would have bought yours from you.
Well, they are. But they're walnut and they're only one drawer. Yours are double stacked.
Mm. I did want to talk to you about something, and the podcast is as good a place as any, I guess, to bring it up. I was going to just call you and talk to you about it, but why not bring it up on the podcast so the listeners can hear the interaction?
Oh, okay.
So you know that I've tried to move as far away from client work as I possibly can, right?
Mm.
And I know that you're kind of in a different mindset where you would like to keep some client work because it keeps you, like, actively doing things, right?
Right.
Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, so much stuff for here.
And the interior design firm that I used to do a lot of work for, who now, they don't do anything local in Oregon. All their stuff is all over the country. They're in Texas and New York and all over the place. Anyways, I don't build for them anymore, and they keep asking me to build stuff, and I'm like, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, well, then do you know another woodworker that makes quality stuff that would want work? And I was like, well, my friend Keith, I don't know if you would want some work your way. It's all high-end, like, cool stuff. I don't know. Just thought I'd throw it out there.
The answer is yes.
But here's the catch. And this is where I was like, I don't know if Keith would want to bother with this.
If I have to crate any of this crap up, the answer is maybe.
Still okay, yes.
Well, that is the thing. You pretty much have to ship everything you make.
For the right price, Jason, and for you.
Well, that's the thing is I would always charge him.
Yeah.
I mean, like $1,200 in shipping. But this firm is working with insanely, like, the clientele they work with. I think they just wanted me to build them a dining table. It's like a small dining table. It's like 5 feet by 48 inches oak dining table. It's not even that crazy. And they're like, the price that we gave them is $9,000. Like, would you do it for that? I mean, It's like super, it's people that got money. So when you're like, oh yeah, it's going to be $2,000 to ship. They're like, yeah, okay, sounds good. Which makes it a little easier.
I'd be very interested, actually.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm kind of learning that I probably should kind of open up my shipping lanes a little bit.
It's not that bad. If you can find a company. So what I did, I used to create my own stuff and I hated it. But then I found a company locally, and all I would do is I'd build the piece. I'd go drop it off at their warehouse. They would pack the whole thing in rigid foam, crate it up. And then I would have the freight company just come pick it up at their warehouse because they had a loading dock and everything. So,
yes.
Nice. It wasn't.
Yeah, I can definitely look. There's got to be something around here.
There's got to be something in the greater tri-state area that would do that. I mean, there has to be. So, all right. I'll give them your info.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Great.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Well, deal has been struck.
Imagine that.
So you were working on the nightstands. You're doing this build off. Did any work get done on the mudroom?
No, because...
Don't blame it on the electrician.
Yep. The lights are in. The lights finally came in. The electrician is supposed to come maybe next week and tidy up all the spaghetti that's hanging down. And I spoke to a contractor friend of mine who's going to send one of his drywall guys over. And he's going to take care of the drywall work, so I don't have to do any of that garbage. He's going to drywall and prime it, and then I can start the install. And I don't know if I mentioned last time, I can't go any further. I wanted to do the whole face frame in my shop and get it ready and then just bring it over kind of in pieces and scribe it and put it together. But what I'm finding is with this mudroom lockers like stacked on top of the bench in my shop, they're kind of tilted, and I can't. Even if I straighten them up, they're not like perfectly square. Like they really need to be installed for me to accurately fit all these face frames. So I cut them all to rough length anyway. So I really just need to start installing, get the base in, get that installed. And yeah, I still got to order the drawers. The bottom bench face frame is all tech. It's not installed. It's loose fit. But yeah, I really need to get it at the bottom in and start installing to really make any progress here.
Yeah. All right.
So luckily my sister's cool with it, but I'm not so much because I am so sick and tired of walking out into my shop and like having to shimmy sideways just to walk out there. And it's just a nightmare. It's taking up so much room and, yeah. So that's it. Yeah, everyone seems to be concerned with the mudroom.
Well, I'm more concerned for your sister.
don't know. Where are all their shoes?
I'm more concerned for your safety.
Yeah. Who, by the way, I don't know if I should say this, but she started DMing.
He's going to anyways.
I'm going to say it anyways. Just don't tell her that I told you. But she started DMing me on Instagram.
And you actually got her messages?
I actually got, well, it was one of those random times. I just like was like curious, and I looked in that auxiliary folder, and I saw that she DM'd me, and I was like, oh. And she DM'd me to ask, she wanted to buy you a Christmas present.
Oh.
And she DM'd me asking if there was any camera equipment that I use that I think you would really like. She obviously does not know.
Do you got everybody fooled like me?
And I was like, well, does he have an iPhone?
Which, by the way, Nick, you have the 13 now?
No, I have a 12.
Oh, I hate this. This new camera sucks so bad.
I told you.
It's even the regular one, not that cinematic. It's constantly trying to focus itself and refocus. Like even in stories, it's constantly switching back and forth between lenses, and it's so maddening. You have to lock the focus all the time, which you can't do like in a story when on Instagram. Mm. But anyway, I'm seriously considering going back to a 12.
We'll do it. I mean, I'm sure you could. Trade it in for equal value.
Maybe with the 14, whenever that comes, Jerry.
Next week.
Probably not. Well, I wonder if all this like COVID stuff and supply chain issues is probably affecting that too, I would imagine.
Doesn't seem to.
Well, because my friend went to get one and he had to wait a month to get a phone.
Computers are backed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of. It depends on what you order, though. So they have some stuff stateside, but if you order anything kind of customized that's not like off the shelf, you'll wait, you know, like 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Well, I'm glad you're getting some stuff done, Keith.
Moving the ball forward.
But here's what I am getting done. So I wanted to give you guys an update on the Facebook Reels.
Oh, yeah. Are you at your 30 grand yet?
My God, no. Oh, and by the way, you can go up to 35 grand.
Oh.
You know.
The stakes have been raised. I
mean, things have been going. Listen, I'm going to give you literally up to the minute numbers right now. I'm going to refresh my screen.
Okay, but fix your camera because it looks like you're wearing a fez or something.
Oh.
There you go.
How's that?
That's better. That's
my wife's dress hanging down.
Okay.
Is
she in there? So, hey, Lindsay, what's up? No.
So I started posting just one a day, and then I was like, well, why not post two a day? Like, just keep hit them with machine gun fire. And so I've been doing two a day, and so I'm up to $2,900.
Hey, in how long?
In
14 days.
15 days. Yeah, 14 days, 15 days. So I'm halfway through, and that's 1.676 million views, or bonus plays, they call it.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's obviously a crappy CPM. It's like $1.60 per thousand, but for recycled content that I just post over there.
Easy.
Easy peasy.
So wait,
is it
only going to make money like this for 30 days and then they cut it off?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I don't know if they ask you, like, give you another invitation for another month, depending. I don't know how it works.
Hmm.
But the good thing about it is because you need 10,000 followers on Facebook in order to monetize, like, your videos.
That's where
I had, like, 500, but now, I mean, I'm not even close to there, but I have almost 2,200. So I've gained a lot of followers as well. So I'm hoping by the end, I'm a lot closer to 10,000.
You have to have 10,000 followers on Facebook to monetize?
Yeah.
Yep.
And
and like a certain number of hours or whatever.
That's insane.
Minutes viewed.
Because I'm monetizing Facebook, but I didn't realize I had that many followers. How do you look how many
followers
you have?
I don't know how you got them.
I have no clue how I got them.
Wow. That's a lot of old people.
I honestly had no clue. I assumed I had like 1,000.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time I'm hearing of this. I'm going to go to my page.
They make it so difficult to even
look,
like,
because
people can like your page, but that's different than them following your page.
Yeah.
Where do you look on your page to see how many
I don't
have?
Even know.
It's so
Facebook
weird.
Facebook is the worst. I can't even go to my reels and look and see how many views they have.
I know I had to show you.
I can see like Reach. It shows me Reach and one other kind of statistic, but I cannot see views.
I wonder if Facebook is like Instagram's real payment, where they have basically like a prorated, where like the first 10,000 views are worth like $3 each. And then after that, they're like 3 cents.
Whoa. Well, here's what I did. 15,000.
Holy
wow,
crap.
Man.
Well, because, well, that's also from all the videos that you've been posting over there. So,
yeah, probably
you've obviously grown.
Wow. I had no clue.
Well, then.
I'm making it, guys. I'm coming up in the world.
You're a big Facebook boy.
Ooh.
Now, Nick, what I, getting back to your point there about like amount of dollars or whatever per view is, remember that first day I was like, oh, I've made $180 already.
Right.
I think they gave like an initial bonus.
Oh, like a signing fee or signing
bonus?
Yeah,
like $150, I think. But everything averages out. Because I've been keeping a spreadsheet on everything.
Of course.
I've posted how many.
Of course.
Well, because I want to see, I really want to see like where the money, how they're calculating it. So I have like how many views at the end of the day, how much money I made that day, how many daily views and value per thousand views and all these things. And it's all right around, it was a little high. It was like $2 at the beginning. And now, yeah, it's $1.60 pretty much every day per thousand views. I had one day where I made $327. That was a nice little day.
Wow.
Solid.
So considering I used up probably $280 worth of walnut that day, it was, you know, not that big of a day.
It's but here's the thing is I put like all my energy and focus into YouTube because it's really easy. Like it's so easy to use. I can see exactly how much money I'm making, but I'm very aware because I got approved for like the Instagram Reels. I got approved to monetize the Instagram TV. There's like the Facebook Reels, all that. I mean, you can make money on TikTok. I know you can make money in all these places, but I just don't have the time to do all that. Even to just recycle my old content, it takes time to like, because on Facebook, like if you post a video on Facebook, it's got to be over a minute to monetize the video. So I always had it set up that everything I posted on Instagram would automatically post to Facebook. And my agency,
it's under a minute.
My agency that's helping me monetize Facebook was like, hey, you're getting these videos that are posting from Instagram, and some of them have got like 800,000 views, but you can't monetize them because they're all under a minute because they're coming from Instagram. So now what they want me to do is not have it directly post to Facebook. Send them the video, and then they just like slow down a portion of it or whatever to bump it over a minute and then repost it on Facebook so that they can monetize it. But that's like,
that's
like
cheating the system.
Yeah, but I don't have time to do that. But here's the big news I want to share with you guys.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Do we need a drum roll or anything? Like some horns?
Well, here, I'll do this, okay?
Oh, no.
Yep. The big news!
Nice.
I've been noticing over this past year that I'm letting a lot of things fall through the crack. I'm not responding to emails. There's just all this back-end stuff I don't have time to do. So,
you brought Gary back to be your personal assistant?
No, but I did hire a personal assistant, administrative assistant, all the back-end stuff.
When does Ivor start?
Beginning of the year. It's not Ivor.
Oh.
Okay, and get this, okay?
Is it your wife?
No, it's not my wife. It's a guy by the name of Craig. I don't know if he's listening. He should be because that's one of his criteria. No, I'm just joking.
It's his job description.
But he's super organized. He's really good at all that stuff. And as a part-time gig on the side, he makes extra money being a professional photographer, videographer.
Oh.
Son of a
Well
biscuit.
Then.
So, nice. And that's not why I'm hiring him for that skill set. But I'm not going to lie. It'll be kind of nice to have that.
Yeah, it will.
So
when you're like, here's my iPhone, could you film me?
Exactly. I know. I had to have the iPhone conversation with him because he did ask me initially, like, so what's your film setup? And I was like, well.
iPhone.
My iPhone and a tripod. And that's basically it.
Was he flabbergasted?
Yeah, he was a little surprised, but that's okay. I mean, he did admit like, hey, it's working. Let's not mess with it. So.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty excited to have somebody else in the shop. You know, I'm more excited just to have somebody in the shop. He's going to start 3 days a week.
Mm.
And just to have someone around to talk to, it gets lonely out in the shop.
Yeah.
I know.
It'll be nice.
I know.
So I'm pretty stoked about that.
That's awesome, man. You definitely deserve it and need it. Now, where did you find this guy?
So, you know, people always say don't hire your friends, but he's been a friend for a long time, and he's been a stay-at-home dad for the last few years, and he was telling me that he just really, not asking for a job, he was just telling me because we were having coffee that he's really been thinking about needing something to get out of the house and kind of get back into the workforce, but he's not quite ready to go full-time yet because they still have a younger kid at home, and I was like, well, I've been thinking about needing somebody for me, so it worked out pretty good.
That's great.
Wow. It's kismet.
Yeah, kismet. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Congrats, man.
Yeah.
It's really, I think it's going to take a lot off your plate, and then it's just going to open up that creativity funnel even more.
Well, he's like, the first thing we need to do is we need to like firm up a, like get you on a calendar, get you organized, get you on a schedule. And I was like, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
And then we need to round over all these corners.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I'm really stoked about that. He's starting on the 3rd. It's that first week in January, and hopefully it'll be good.
That's great.
Yeah, it'll be great.
The real question is, does he know how to tuft?
Tuft? Maybe. Hey, okay, I just want to say to all the listeners, I got to admit, when people are right, and Nick kind of made a big deal about that headboard not being great, and I put out a video on how to do it anyways, and that video totally tanked. So, Nick.
And by tanked, you mean 100,000 views?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
it brought your average way down.
In
way
comparison down to the other videos I've been putting out later, that one did not do. It's not at 100,000 yet. It will hit 100,000. It's at 98 right now. But I put out a video yesterday, and it's already past that one. So
nice.
So you're right, Nick.
Well, I hate to be right, but I want to say I liked the headboard. But
no, you said last time you didn't like the headboard.
Let me finish. I liked it before you added the tufts. I think it would look great just as the foam back.
Okay. And to be fair, that's what my wife said too. That's what she was expecting. And I was out in the shop alone one night late. And I thought, I'm going to try tufts.
You win.
See, this
some,
is why you need
some.
An assistant.
This is why I need someone to talk me down off the tufting cliff, I guess. But you're right. It was, it did not do well. So
that's all right.
But I also think part of that was that it's not like woodworking. It's not, it's completely kind of random out there. So
yeah. What were the comments like?
The biggest comment I got was apparently there's this guy, Chester. Never heard of him until now, but he has a upholstery channel. Oh. And everybody was like, hey, you should go watch this guy. You'll learn how to actually do it the right way. I probably got 100 plus of those comments. So
that's nice.
Now I know.
Well, that's constructive anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Leave the tufting to Chester, I guess. Is
I'll put that on a shirt.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, but then I did this. So I was supposed to, I released the barn door video. I built this big barn door. And I released that this week. It was supposed to go out the last week, but I had a sponsor issue. Anyways, long story. But my goal was to do 2 videos before Christmas break and then be done for the rest of the year because I needed to do an extra video because I have another sponsor lined up. But then the first sponsor kind of had some issues and that pushed the video back. So now I got to do another video after Christmas, which is going to be the side tables. So.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm happy with how the barn door turned out.
Dude, the barn door looks great.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
It looks good.
I was kind of sad you took out the eye.
Really? Did you like that better?
No, I didn't like the eye.
Yeah.
I like what you ended up doing.
Yeah, I thought it drew way too much attention. Like your eye just went right to the center of the door because it was completely different than
everything
else. Yeah,
it was large.
And I had spent a lot of time getting that thing to fit perfect. And I put it in, and within 2 seconds of sliding it in there, I was like, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
So then I ripped it out. But I
love that you showed that.
I discovered a great way for removing a piece like that, because at first I was like, how am I going to get this out? Because it was pretty tight in there, because I had to like pound it in with a mallet because it was a tight fit, and I glued it in, and then I used 23 gauge pin nailers. I was like, how am I going to get this thing out without marring up the sides? Like, I can't get a crowbar in there on the edge. It's going to ding up all the things around it. So I just put two screws in it and then used a hammer and the little pry thing and popped it right out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I saw that on the video. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it wasn't all lost, because then I used that piece as a template to make all the little strips that
right,
fit in there.
Right.
So, and then got those to fit perfect. So I did use the piece, which was nice.
Right.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Now, but was that tell you,
very cool?
But go ahead, KJ.
No, I just said nice job.
Oh, I was going to ask you about the hardware then. Was it orange, or did you add that?
No, it was orange. So there's this company that I discovered a while ago when I was doing client work, because I was also always on the search for good barn door hardware.
Yeah.
There's an amazing company in Portland, actually, that I love to use. And man, I cannot remember the name of it, but it's all custom made in Portland, and their stuff is...
Portland barn doors?
It's insanely high-end barn door hardware. They have this specialized... So the track that you actually hang on the wall that the barn door slides on, mm-hmm. they have this special system where... the front piece clips in. So basically you pop that front piece on, and then you can screw all your screws that actually hold the track up, and then that piece clips back, so it hides all the fasteners. So it's really clean looking. I love it. But it's like,
oh nice.
It's like $2,500 for a barn door track. Yeah, it's crazy expensive. And the only reason I ever used it is because they gave me a set to try out, but none of my clients ever wanted to spend the money, which is a bummer. So then I found this other company, and I think it's called Rustica.
Rustica?
R-U-S-T-I-C-A. Yeah.
Okay.
Brestica?
Rustica.
And Rustica. And the thing I like about them is they have, you can kind of like mix and match different designs. They got a ton of different color options. So the orange was one of the color options.
Uh-huh.
But they got like brass and gold and white and green and like anything, raw steel, black, everything. And then they have different mounting things. And then all the little components that come with the barn door are actual metal that match. So, like, if you buy the ones on Amazon, like, the floor glide pieces are always plastic, you know?
Yeah.
These are, like, solid metal, which I like. And the other thing I like is that they give you the option to get the track piece not pre-drilled.
Oh.
So
in case your studs...
Yeah, because you get those ones on Amazon, they're all pre-drilled, and your studs never line up where they need to go. So I always ended up drilling a bunch of holes in it, and then you got holes that aren't being used. So this, you just line up on the wall, mark out where all your studs are, drill your holes, and then it's like perfect the way it needs to be.
Yeah.
Or people, a lot of time, they'll put like a board up over the studs and then attach the track to the board. And I just don't think that looks good. So, I like this hardware. And it's only like, I mean, it's still a little more expensive because it's all made in America and it's a little customized. But I think it's like $600 for a whole track system versus $2,500. So
that's
way more reasonable.
Yeah, but it's quality. Like, it's really, it's well-made stuff. I like it. So if you're looking for barn door hardware, Rustica, go check them out. They're not paying anything to say that.
Is it Astro-coated? Because that would really... Ooh. Or is that another $200?
No, but barn I was door talking to MJ, and they're doing a special deal right now at Bits and Bits where you can buy basically anything you want and send it to them as long as you send a prepaid mailing label so they can ship it back, and they'll Astro-coat it for you for free.
Get out.
You're kidding,
right? So, well, I've been sending everything in there. I sent my golf clubs in there today to get Astro-coated.
My lunchbox.
Yeah, I shipped my son's go-kart in
my
there.
Yeti cup.
No, that's actually not a real thing. Don't start sending your stuff to Bits and Bits.
Maybe it could be. Holiday season, enjoy free Astro-coating.
Oh, and free at that Rustica place, they have like a zillion options in poles for the actual door. And you can get them to match whatever your track color is. So like I was able to get that same orange for the pole to match the track. So everything matches, which is nice.
Wow.
Got to coordinate.
That's nice.
But then
very cool.
I built the whole door and I realized that for their floor guide system, basically you have to cut a groove in the bottom of the door. That it like rides on this little like thing, you know, to keep it from coming out from the wall. And I forgot about that. I was going to cut that piece before I glued the whole thing together and then just have to add a little on either side. I forgot about it until I glued the whole thing up and I was putting a finish on and I realized, oh crap, I didn't cut that groove in there. So I grabbed some of those woodpecker clamping squares, you know, the little like 90 degree ones. And I clamped those on the end of the door and then I just clamped the Festool track onto those and ran the track saw sideways. Easy peasy. I mean, it took like 2 seconds. Because I've seen people use like the rabbiting bit, you know, and they'll go along the outside. But the problem with that is you got the two end grain styles on either side. And sometimes when you hit that end grain with the rabbiting bit, it wants to go all crazy. So the track saw is just like perfect.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've always just used a slot cutter.
What's a slot cutter? Like a biscuit joiner?
Well, yeah, it's basically a biscuit for your router, like a biscuit router bit.
Yeah. You just, how's that different than like a rabbiting bit?
Well, it's specifically made to cut a slot versus rabbit is.
Yeah, but it's the same thing, I would imagine. When you hit that end grain, it's kind of a question mark on what's going to happen.
Well, the rabbit cuts a rabbit.
Right.
Which is like maybe the top would be open.
Yeah, maybe rabbiting bit is not the right thing. I guess a slot cutter, but you can use a most rabbiting bits you can use to cut a slot. There's blades on the top and bottom.
Yeah, but my rabbiting bit is like 3/4 of an inch tall.
Oh, well, I got a ton of different sizes all the way down to like an 1/8 inch.
Oh. That's a tiny...
Which is probably a slot cutting bit.
Well, that's
probably
what I'm saying. What's the difference in shape? They probably look exactly the same.
I've never seen a rabbiting bit that
skinny.
Kind
thin.
Of skinny. Yeah. Yeah. That thin. Okay. Yeah, because.
Well, I mean, technically, you could use a 1-inch rabbiting bit to do, if you're doing a true rabbit, to do any size rabbit you want, because you're right, the top's open.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But no, I have like, I bought like a cheap made in China Amazon, like multiple rabbiting bit set, and
why.
It comes in different sizes.
I see.
Interesting. Okay.
So instead of changing the bearing, you just have different size rabbiting. They have different size cutters. Instead of one cutter and different size
bearings. Well, I'm not talking about size as far as depth. I'm talking about like the thickness of the actual bit.
Yeah.
So the bearing doesn't really matter at that point. I don't know. It always is weird to me that there was different sizes because in a true rabbit, it doesn't matter. You can just lower it or raise it. But. Mm. Anyways, I use the track saw. That's all I'm trying to say is I use the track saw and I use this.
The bottom line is, people.
And I thought it was pretty slick. It worked really easy and I could just move the track up or down a little bit to adjust the thickness of that track. And it worked great. That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, nice. I got it.
Look what happens when we try actual woodworking talk.
Yeah, we should talk about something else. We're talking too much about woodworking now.
Let's talk about this guitar, Nick.
Yeah.
It's a bass.
So it's a bass. A bass guitar, but I think we talked about it on the last podcast. I had the top and I already had the body blank. And
did you pre-order that shape or did you cut that MDF thing out on your CNC?
I ordered that because I couldn't find the schematics to actually put it into my CNC. And my computer that's actually connected to my CNC right now won't boot. So my CNC's down. So I was like, I'll just order a router template. It was like $20.
Well, have like, the Brunt, man. You work with them, have them send you some more boots.
Yeah.
You can reboot it. Put some new boots on there.
Oh my God.
I tried. I kicked it. It didn't work.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
But no, I'd ordered that template.
So they sell like templates. Okay.
Oh, you can get a template for any kind of guitar you want. Yeah. That's typically how most people make it, especially if you don't have a CNC. You just get either like an MDF template. Or an acrylic template. That way you can see a little bit better. But yeah, I got the template and I laminated that flame maple top onto my swamp ash body. But
is that what happens if you live in Kentucky too long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets hot.
It gets really humid.
You got to use that swamp ash. Yeah. You got to use some Dr. Scholl's every now and then.
Yeah.
But I glued up my body blank like probably 2 or 3 years ago because I was going to make a bass back then and just held on to it and just never did anything with it. But it was 8/4 swamp ash. So it was probably, I mean, my final thickness needs to be 1 inch and 3/4. So I had to bring it down 3/8 of an inch because then I was adding an 1/8 inch veneer on top.
Mm.
And I was like, well, how can I do this? It doesn't fit in my planer. I don't have a drum sander. I'm sure as heck not going to sand it down.
So your CNC won't boot.
Right. My CNC wouldn't boot. So I just got out the router sled and made a mess. So I took 3/8 inch off of that blank with my router sled.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty much my only option. But it came out
flawless.
Well,
at least it's flat, right? Yeah, it should be flat.
Super flat. It was great. And then...
I thought you... Didn't last time you say you were going to use African mahogany?
Yeah. But then So Saturday morning, I woke up and I was like, wait a minute. I have swamp ash underneath my CNC that I've been holding on to for a base for like 3 years. So I was like, I'll use that. And it doesn't matter because it's going to be black. The backside is black.
Oh, okay.
But not the front. The front is... will not be black. I'm not gonna tell anybody what is until the video is out, but it's gonna look really good. But I figured something out, laminating that veneer onto the body, and you know how when you glue two surfaces, they want to slide.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, I wanted to make sure that top lined up the seams on both the bottom body blank and the veneer was perfect, so that it would wrap all the way around the guitar. And as soon as you put that glue on and you put a clamp on, it's going to shimmy a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So
frame,
I took a chopstick and made little bitty dowels and then drilled out through the veneer and into the body blank, into the pickup cavity and to the neck socket. That way, I could then pop it down. It would hold it. Wouldn't slide, clamp it, and then flush cut it. And then I'm going to route it out for all the pickup cavities in the neck socket. So you won't even know that chopstick was there.
And you'll be able to play chop suey so much better.
So much better.
Chopsticks.
That's right.
I've done that with like gluing up big leg blanks. I've used the domino, like vertically up and down. That way you can just pop. Yeah, because when you try to glue up leg blanks and you don't want to have to clean up. Especially if you're like 3 or 4 layers and they're all different and they're not flush. Like it's a pain in the butt to kind of flush everything up. So, you know, it was smart.
Right. It was brilliant. I was like, man.
No, brilliant. I wouldn't go that far. You're not going to win a Nobel Prize for this, Nick.
That's right. Well, actually, did you hear the guy that invented the knock-knock joke? He just won the Nobel Prize?
Well, yeah, because...
No.
Because he didn't have a bell. He knocked.
That's right. anyways, so that was glued up, and I think I sent you guys a picture after I glued it up, and I used Type Bond Dark for just kicks and giggles. I don't even know why. I just had it, so I grabbed it. It looked
Did you
like,
know they now have Type Bond Black?
No.
I'm just kidding. But they should,
they should have Type on black, actually.
Endorsed by Key Woodworks.
No kidding. Signature Key Woodworks glue. Man, that would be awesome. But it looked like chocolate syrup was squeezing out all around.
Yeah, that was...
It was yummy.
Did you say the Type on dark?
Yeah, Type on dark.
Yeah, I was using that tonight. It's like, it's almost like that...
it's syrupy.
Quick and thick, because it's thick and like it hardens in the top. It's such a... Yeah, I use it on walnut, kind of like when I'm making little sawdust paste.
Mm. Yeah, it was...
Because it's already kind of walnut color.
Well, I figured it would be okay because I'm going to... So I told you I'm going to do the back of the guitar will be black. So right up to the glue line around the veneer will be black. So it'll be all... You won't even see the glue line. But I just thought it was weird how chocolatey that glue actually is. Strange.
It's like Bosco.
Tastes like it too.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Now, how are you gonna have like a perfect line all the way around? Where you're using? What are you using? India ink to color the back?
No, Angelus leather dye. But
you're gonna have the veneer already glued on. That's gonna be a different color. So you're gonna tape up, mask that off, and hope it doesn't bleed into it.
Without giving it away, it'll be a burst into black.
Okay.
So it will fade to black.
You just gave everything away.
Yeah. It'll be a... Well, they don't... Nobody knows what color burst, but
I don't even know what a guitar is.
Yeah, I'm going to burst it into black. So it'll
so go black
slowly.
To red. Got it.
Oh, boy. No.
Okay.
But.
All right.
Yeah.
But I figured you had that figured out. But yeah. I don't know.
And I'm doing something a little bit different than most guitars. It's called a slab guitar because I'm not putting a big round over radius on it. So that kind of disappoints you, Keith. But I will be using your favorite 1/8 round over on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Normally I use 3/16. So it's a little bit smaller. Less.
You use I'm loving the 1/16 round over.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they made one.
Wow. Yeah,
I used the 1/16.
Or is it 3/8?
1/16 round over.
1/16 round over.
No, seriously, because that just breaks the edge. Like, if that's you like just break the edge rather than doing it by it with sandpaper, it's just like the perfect, just eases that edge.
Yep. Yeah.
But then the 1/8, you know, if you really want to step it up.
I've never used a 1/16. I mean, that's like two passes with a piece of sandpaper.
That's what you would think.
Right.
But you don't want to.
It's cleaner, though.
You're going around the corners. Yeah.
Right.
And it's faster.
Yeah, much faster.
Sure, just faster.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
But
and it's Astro-coated, so
I just looked it up.
It's going to last me three times as long.
Most Fender guitars have a round over of 7/16.
Oh, God.
But wow. I'm only doing an 8.
Oh, it's not in metric?
No, it's... no. For sure.
All right. Made in USA.
I want to know who was like, I don't know, Chuck. The 1/2 inch just looks a little too much.
I know.
Yep, right.
Let's back it off.
Let's back it off to 7/16. All right, that's perfect. Like, why 7/16? Why?
Because the guy who was doing it is the same guy that made the cabinets for Jerry. Whatever you want, Jerry.
Whatever you want, Jerry.
But if I thought I made a lot of mess doing my router sled, I made even more of a mess today cutting that profile with the template, because I use the ultimate flush cutting,
the ultimate flush trim.
Oh yeah,
the trim, and then
guy.
I did the flush trim from the other side.
Yeah, I love
man,
that
it
thing.
Was a just a whirlwind of sawdust chips and
it's a
just
snowstorm
everywhere. Yeah, it was crazy. But I wanted to ask you, I ran into a little bit of a problem. It's not going to be an issue because it'll sand out. But when I use the ultimate pattern bit on the top side, and then I flipped it over and used a flush trim, and they didn't quite meet up with the exact same cut. So there's just a hair.
Were they both bits and bits bits?
Yep. Both Astro-coated.
Sometimes if I have found that if your bit is a little bit older and that carbide is worn down just a little bit.
Yeah, because
it doesn't line up perfectly.
Like, how soon after you glued it up did you do this?
I probably waited, it's been probably, Sunday to today, so 5 days.
Okay.
Because I have noticed sometimes, too, if the glue's still a little tacky, that glue will get onto the bearing, and then you get dust built up on the bearing, and it can kind of push it out a little bit.
Well, there wouldn't have been much glue, because I actually roughed it out with a jigsaw first because I don't have a bandsaw.
Yeah.
That was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. No, I mean.
But there wasn't much glue after that. But yeah, I mean, it's off by 0.5 millimeter. Like, I'll sand it out and you
start
won't
start over.
Know. Yeah, right. Scrap it.
Start over. 0.5 millimeter?
Yeah, I mean, it's like
it's,
barely
it's visible.
There.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty impossible not to get some indication of where one bit was and the other one
wasn't. It's pretty hard to get
right.
I mean,
agreed. Especially if you're using two different bits.
Right.
And bits.
Because even
bits
when we were doing that shuffleboard table, it was the same thing. I mean, Keith was doing one side with
that one
bit, and then I was doing the other side. You could see a line, but it sanded.
Yep. I just figured
right
that
out.
Was the bearing indication of. But it was off that much? I mean, I don't remember when.
No, I mean, just like
that
just
much
enough.
That
you no, you could just tell. You could tell where one bit was and the other one. I mean, just a hair, but sanded right out. I mean,
this
I sanded it right out. You guys watched, but yeah.
Right. Okay.
Oh, man. Well, that's cool. That's exciting.
Yeah. Probably tomorrow I'll pocket out those cavities, get the pickups routed out, the controls routed out. It's crazy. I actually, like, I'm cannibalizing an older bass of mine and taking all of the electronics out of that and putting it into this one. And am using that base like as a template for all my depths and dimensions and stuff. It's crazy. Like, you have to be 3/4 of an inch thick or deep pocket for your pickups. You got to be 1.5 inches for the controls. It's the neck has to be perfect.
Very accurate.
I'm not a musician, so I don't know like technical terms. So forgive me when I ask this question, but
yeah.
So you're working on like the body of the bass. What are you going to do for that long pointy stick thing that comes out the end that you put your fingers on?
The kickstand?
The neck?
Is that what it's called? Yeah, the part neck. Where you like...
Save the neck for me, Clark.
That's right. It's got all those metal all right, pieces in it, you know, that you like push the strings down against. Yeah.
That's a
like,
neck.
Are you building that?
No, I'm using a replacement neck. I wanted to do that, but that's like a whole nother level of guitar making.
Yeah.
Like you need to put in a truss rod.
If you don't
rod,
do that exactly right too, it probably really affects the sound of the...
It will not play right. Yeah. If the neck is off, it will not play right.
Okay.
And I just figured it's one of those things where maybe one day I'll want to do my own neck and, you know, venture down that road. But for this, I was like, let's just do a really cool body, make it look good, bolt on a neck that's already straight from the factory and call it good.
Oh, okay.
So it comes with like all those pieces of metal in there and everything?
No, it's just the neck. Yeah. Oh. So it's just the wood. So I got all the hardware, I'll put all that in and string it up. And then a lot of people don't know there's a lot that goes into setting up a guitar so that it does play right. So you have to actually add in enough. Jerry, good grief.
Oh my gosh. Move the camera.
For everybody out there that can't see what we see, it's
seashore?
The back end of a
starfish doing on there. There's like a sea urchin on Keith's camera.
It just gripped in the front of the camera.
Oh, Jerry. Oh my gosh. Sorry.
But as I was saying,
yeah,
there's a whole lot that goes into setting up guitars to where they'll play right. You have to like set the relief on the neck. So just like a piece of wood, you want to put a little bit of tension in that neck. And you do that by adding a bolt that goes all the way through the neck. And you can either tighten
like
it or loosen it.
Like Frankenstein.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I was thinking
both
about.
Both sides. And you tighten it or loosen it, depending on how high you want the strings to set off the fretboard. So there's a whole other science behind, you know, making guitars, you know, that's not just woodworking. It's crazy. But I figured I'd sit that one out for this.
Ooh, Jerry. Sorry, he's about to put his paw on the keyboard here and...
Sorry, I'm trying to play with him through the camera.
I know.
Well, I'm excited to see that all come together, Nick.
That's fun.
No clue where people message me all the time. Are like, oh, for a next build, you should make like a ukulele because they see like Nick Offerman making them and stuff. But with no knowledge of music whatsoever, I'm not going to try and make something I know nothing. I mean, I wouldn't even. I have no clue.
You mean like make a big riverboat?
Yeah, but that's different. It doesn't have to like sound right.
But it's got to float.
Well, it's got to float. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Man, I got to tell you, I'm kind of itching to build another boat.
Really?
Which is ridiculous. Canoe? I don't have any place to put a boat. I thought about doing a canoe, but I don't know. And I don't want like my channel to be known as like, oh, he's the guy that builds boats occasionally or whatever. But they're just, I guess what I'm saying is what I would really like to find this next year is another project that will take me like months to complete.
How about an Airstream?
That was the camper. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't even know if I'm going to get to work on that this next year because I sent it over to Bend to a guy that's going to do all the outside body work and everything. And he's kind of doing me a favor. He's booked out through like into 2023. But he does full like interior, exterior, everything. And so he basically said, because we don't have to do any interior work on yours, you just want the body work done. We can fit it in here or there where we have time. But I could not get it back till 2023. I don't know. So
Phew.
It could be a while on that, but I would just love another like long project.
Do a speedboat.
Because from a filming standpoint, they're so nice. Because it's not like you're trying to complete something to get a video done. You work on it for a bit, and then you just stop. And however much you have done, like, that's the video.
Build a tiny house.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Well, I've been thinking about, my son's really been asking for like a tree fort.
Yeah, there you go.
But we don't have any trees that would support a tree fort, so.
Plant one.
So I got to make one?
Plant one. I mean, basically, yeah, I would have to make one in the form of like, instead of a traditional tree fort, doing like a big stilted like fort. But
oh.
I thought that would be cool and could be a multiple part series and really like kind of make it over the top and sweet looking. So maybe I'll
venture. The honeycomb hideout.
Yeah. Maybe I'll venture into that. Have a, like a ensuite garage for his go-kart. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you should make a lift for his go-kart.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but who knows?
Well, maybe we'll put a poll out to our listeners. What 3-month project should Jason embark on?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of people that have asked me to do a Cedar Strip canoe, but I'm like, Duresta did one and his video is awesome. Like, go watch him do it. I mean, there's a lot of Cedar Strip canoe videos out there. Mm-hmm. The cool thing with the drift boat is there's like 3 drift boat videos out there and they're not very good.
Mm-hmm. So, and they're all 3 yours?
No, no. There's just not a ton of them out there. So that was like a fun thing to do. But there's a ton of Cedar Strip canoe content already out there. So anyways, I don't know how we started talking about this.
I don't know. Does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, dear.
Do you guys got, I mean, speaking of future projects, I mean, we're nearing the end of the year here. Do you guys have any, like, big projects you're looking forward to in 2022? Things you want to do?
Well, I just have this big built-in with my buddy Kevin that, I mean, do I want to do it? No, because it's a lot of work, but, and it's just a built-in, but that's, like, kind of first up off the, out of the gate. Well, at the end of January, maybe in February, I don't even know. But as far as like other things lined up, maybe a dining room table for my sister with some cool little design details. I might be doing like this little online course class, trying to develop with a company. So trying to come up with a project for that, actually.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be something I've already built before.
DIY router table.
Oh, my God. Planing thin stock. So I don't know. There's nothing like out there right now that I'm super, except for what this collaboration that we're finishing right now. I am super excited about that, but that'll be wrapping up at the beginning of January, hopefully. But who knows? If people like it and want to buy this thing, then we may be making more.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Who knows?
All right.
We don't know.
Cool.
Very nice.
But.
Well, Nick, anything for you?
Something I thought of earlier this week actually is the far side of my shop that has the 2 windows. I would love to totally redo that whole side.
French doors?
Yep. Have it walk out to the soil because it's below grade.
Oh, you can burrow into the side of the hill?
A little tunnel.
Make a tunnel out to the street.
British dude Colin Firth.
Oh, Firth?
That dude?
Colin Firth?
You guys know him? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He did like a whole underground like bunker like.
Oh, does he?
Thing, yeah.
Well, I could do that.
Yeah.
Like a bomb shelter. But I was thinking I'd rip all that out and redo it with some cabinetry and some like more work table type stuff. Get rid of the CNC because I don't use it as much. And obviously, as I said, my computer out there is dead. So, I mean. I have probably turned that CNC on maybe a dozen times this year. And it's taken up way more space than that.
Yeah,
dude,
that's
reach
a lot of real
out
estate.
See if Bits and Bits needs another CNC.
Yeah, they come down and get
some
it.
Festival drive stuff. Over.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea. But yeah, I want to get rid of
that. That's a Shape
Oco,
Nick?
Yeah, it's a Shape Oco. It's the XXL. So it's,
which is how big?
I think the cutting surface is like 30 by 30 and the footprint is, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 inches each way larger than that.
So it's 3 feet by 3 feet?
Yeah, around that, yeah.
Really? That's it? Oh, I thought it was bigger.
It is. I mean, the footprint is probably a little bit bigger than that.
Keith's trying to figure out if he can fit it in his shop.
Yeah,
you can fly it from your ceiling right now, Keith, and then just lower it on a gantry.
Yeah, sell that. Sell that to somebody. Get a little money, and then get yourself the shaper.
Yeah, I mean, would be so much better. I mean, I was thinking. I started following this guy on Instagram, Farnsworth Guitars, because obviously, I'm making a guitar, and he uses the Origin on it, and I was like, gosh, that's like the perfect machine for making musicians like any kind of musical instrument. That's crazy good. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, what's funny is that, when I was at Paul's this weekend and we were doing that design and these drawer fronts, I'm like, this could never be done with the shaper. I would have my back.
There's certain things that, like, the CNC, I mean, set it and forget it, walk away.
It took 40 minutes for that CNC to carve one drawer front just by itself. Never mind. If you were standing there by yourself and you'd have to do offsets and, like, multiple passes.
That shaper, when you need it, like, you got to cut out like a little weird shape and you just don't know how you're going to do it. You pull that thing out and boom.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go for it.
Man. Oh, it definitely would be handy and extremely useful rather than the giant footprint of a CNC.
Yeah. That just is, right now, it's just another place that collects crap.
Yeah.
Although I am using it to like house all of my guitar parts right now. So like I have everything laid out on it.
It's a work surface.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. The other day I ordered a bunch of stuff on Amazon and I was like, man, where the heck am I going to put this? I've got no more space left in my shop.
lower the cocktail racer down and throw it in there.
Well, then I remembered I built that flipping outfeed table with like six huge drawers and there's nothing in any of them. And I was like,
fill them up.
Really?
Plus the little cart that I pushed under the table saw that's got two more huge drawers. Yeah. And I didn't put anything in them. So they're just empty. And I was like, oh my gosh, got eight giant drawers I can shove stuff in. This is great.
Storage
and more. Well,
yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah.
You guys, we're not going to record again until Christmas. Hopefully you guys have a good Christmas.
Yeah.
Same.
Likewise.
Yeah.
I did install a bed cover on my truck.
Ooh.
Nice. So you won't get wet when you're sleeping. That's smart.
I figured, winter's kind of coming. There's no point in having a truck with a truck bed if it's full of snow.
So that's true.
That was fun. Well, it actually wasn't that bad of an installation. But seriously, if I had had to install that by reading the instructions that come with it, I never would have done it. But watching an 8-minute YouTube video.
And that's how you do it.
I was, in and out of there, no problem.
That's how you do it.
Did you get a tonneau cover or like a camper shell?
Yeah. It's a tonneau roll-up.
Oh, good.
With, it's like one of those super heavy-duty aluminum rib things. I don't know. It was like $1,100, like ridiculous. But, I didn't want a Velcro one because there's no security. This thing, it locks down, and when the tailgate's shut, you can't get in.
That's nice.
So it's, they make those ones that almost like a, what's the name of it? Like a tambour that tambours all the way up into near the front of the cab. Mm-hmm. But that takes up all that room. Like, and I only have a 5'7" bed, so that eats up a lot of room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would have been nice. That would have been a much more difficult install.
Mm.
And I think it's a lot more money.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. So, yeah.
Well, I would love to wish a Merry Christmas to a few people.
Okay.
I know that we don't normally use this platform just to like say hi to our friends or say hi to our moms or anything like that. But it's Christmas time, so I figured I'd cheat a little and I just want to wish a Merry Christmas to some of my friends. I want to start off with my friend Griffin, Patrick Campo, Tim Bumgardner, and you'll find him at Isenbaum STL, Nick Sabidra, Jordan at Rustic Creations, Chris Soder, Eric Spensley at Spensley Design Co., Derek Jennings, Pecan Tree Design, Aaron Gregerson, Nolan Russell, Alan Dranberg, Ricky Harkins, Jeff Noel. Get this, Keith. It's at GHIJKMNOP63. There's no L in there.
I don't buy it.
Nicole Lobby, Robert Fisher, Tyler Spangler at Spangler_Woodworking, Andreas Wenmeer. Jurassic CC. He's from Sweden. Michael Rodenbaugh, Rodcore Restoration, Yono Rash, Yono 28, Ben Fuller, August underscore Trails underscore Designs, Nicholas Fairfield at Fairfield Woodworks with an X, Michael Olson at m.j.olson2181, MJ, not Mike, Prohorov, the bearded brother himself at Pioneer Home Repair, Alex Johnson at Johnson Works, and of course, our dear friend Nick Leonard at Stated Woods Co.
Yeah. He's
busy making bats for all the dude, how funny was girls that? And that, boys.
That reel he did with putting the
that was perfection.
Podcast over. It was hilarious. I was howling. Well done, Nick. Well done.
Yeah. So those are just a few of my friends, my close friends. You guys don't know most of them, but I wanted to wish them a happy birthday. Those are our returning patrons. Thank you guys so much. And as we said at the beginning of the show, if you're not a patron, go sign up. Or you know what makes a great Christmas gift for a loved one? Is a random Patreon sign up in their name. I mean,
an annual membership.
An annual, even if they don't like woodworking. I mean, that makes it even that much better, because what better way to learn than, well, there's way better ways to learn.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot better.
But anyways, you go to patreon.com/shopsoundspodcast, sign up, and what that gives you is access to our after show, which we're headed to in just a moment. And it looks like, holy cow, we got some good questions from the patrons that we're going to be answering over there. So
that's right.
Don't miss out.
Woo! And thank you to Bits and Bits for sponsoring this podcast. And don't forget to go to bitsbits.com. Use coupon code MORSELS15 and taste the lovely nectar of my candy cane eggnog thing. And save 15% off of... Yeah, wow. We may need to back that up. 15% off CNC and router bits. Use coupon code MORSELS15. And thank you to everybody who does, because it supports the show and shows our sponsor that it's working, and that our listeners support what we do and gives them, and you know, hey, keeping the lights on.
That's right.
Over there.
At least at Keith's house. Jason's in the dark.
Yeah, I have a dimmer, so really, I've really stepped up my game in here.
I hardly know her.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're heading to the after show.
After show, here we come.
We'll see you guys.
Over
there.
All right.
See you.
I bought a puppy.